This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey, welcome in to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Mark Schlereth alongside Mike Evans, Millennial Ben, producing the show. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, great folks over at Bet Rivers. Bet like a man, Bet Rivers. They've been great. They're awesome. Anyhow, we got all kinds of things going on. The picks, I gave you a
You bet like a wuss last week.
What?
You bet like a wuss.
No. I wanted to give you a chance, a fighting chance. So I took the collar last week because
yes,
that's the kind of altruistic guy that I am.
You are 0-3. I don't know who had a slower week one start. You or Aaron Rodgers.
It's pretty much neck and neck. Well, we were connected all offseason.
Right.
So, I mean, we both got shoved up both our cans. So, anyhow, but that's all right. Hey, what I tell you, the only place you ever start on top is when you're digging a hole.
That's very. Did you get that from poolside as well? Or?
No, that's not a poolsideism. That was a coach. I can't even remember the guy's name. He was a running back coach I had for 1 year, and it always stuck with me. Because I was always like, you know me, I'm the squirrel mind that I am. I'm sitting in the meetings, and then I completely tune out what we're doing that week. I'm going, where else might you start on top? You know? And then I'm in there going, let's see, cleaning the garage? No, that doesn't work. Bob, you know, you go through the machinations in your own forehead, and then you come out with it. Might be true.
So you expect an Aaron Rodgers bounce back?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people are just like, he looks weird. He's acting weird.
Right.
Something's off with him. What happened to him this offseason? Did he get abducted by aliens?
Right. Yeah, no, it does feel though, the man bun and the beard, although he shaved his beard. But, you know, I mean, hiking around Hawaii, you know, I mean, I can only imagine hiking around in the, you know, in the foothills with your granola Hollywood superstar fiance, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with granola Hollywood superstar fiancés. I mean, we should all be so lucky, I suppose. But, listen, football is one of those things, Mike, as you well know, and you got to be, when you go and say, all right, I'm in, you got to clear your mind of, you know, the minutiae out there that's bothering you and everything else. And you just got to lock in. You've got to be there. In my experience, there's no real room to be anything less than myopic on the task at hand. I mean, you got to be so freaking focused on what you have to do and your ability to block out all the other garbage, right? And I mean, I know life happens and we're all human. But when you walk in the building, you walk on that football field, man, you have got to be able to just laser focus in. And this is one of the things, you know, it was always interesting because some guys will tell you that, hey, the football field is my sanctuary. You know, I can get away from my problems. I can get away. I'm not wired that way. If things weren't right at home, it ate at me. It bothered me. And, you know, if my wife and I were fighting and I had to go play a game, it was going to bother me. It would affect the way I play. And, you know, you call it weak-minded, call it whatever you want to call it. Just call it real. Call me human. Those things do bother me. So I want to make sure that in my own home, things are right. And if things are still bothering you and you can't let them go, it creeps into every aspect of your life. You know what it really creeps into? Your ability to prepare. And, you know, I always joke, but I'm not joking, the world's greatest American, Tom Brady. The most fascinating part of Tom Brady's career to me is not losing the desire, the zeal, the passion to prepare Monday through Saturday with all the other crap going on in your life. Now, Tom is an interesting cat simply because he's so freaking famous. He's such a superstar. Like, Tom walks into a room of Hollywood superstars, and the Hollywood superstars want to meet Tom. Did you see any of the pictures of the Met Gala? Of all the outfits and
that
all
freak
the...
show?
Dude, that was like, you know, I kid you not, my wife was watching E! and they had the red carpet and all the little interviews, and it, you know, it just is enough to make you want to vomit. But I am in the kitchen studying film, where I always study film. I sit in the same place every week, and I'm grinding through, you know, they're in South Right Clamp, and I'm like, they're running this, you know, like, I'm just grinding through my notes and going through, you know, play by play by play, first and 10, second and 6, 7, da, 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 all three. And I just happened to glance over, and I'm watching this thing. And then I kind of look again, I pause the film, and I'm just watching this freak show of these people that are, I mean, it just looked insane. I thought that is exactly a scene out of the freaking Zoolander.
Yes.
It was so, yes. I was embarrassed for those people. So if Tom Brady walks into the Met Gala, they're stopping because everybody wants to talk to Tom Brady. That's how famous he is. And he uses football as a sanctuary. I had a coach that coached him tell me, you know, I walk down 7 o'clock at night on a Friday night, you know, I'm gonna go get a soda out of the cafeteria, the locker room. And Tom Brady's down there playing cards with the rookies. He's done playing cards, 7 o'clock, because he can't go anywhere. He's too freaking famous, right? He can go home, but he's like, yeah, man, it's, you know, bonding time type of thing. And yeah, so you've got to just be so locked in to your prep and what you're doing, and you got to let go of that. You know, it was once said to me a long time ago, if there is bitterness there, right? If you're holding a grudge against someone, this is great advice, you might want to write it down. It's like you drinking Drano and hoping I get sick. Hey, brother, you're the only one getting sick. It's poison. That toxicity will kill you.
All right, then, since we're shrinking heads and talking about Tom Brady, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Matt Ryan's never gotten over the Super Bowl, has he? He's never gotten over it.
No. And they,
Atlanta's never gotten over it.
No, and they are
him
so...
Him specifically.
Right. And... You know, it's almost like the Chargers are going to Charger. Falcons are going to Falcon. Now, if you go back, I've got Philly this weekend. If you go back and watch the first quarter and a half of that game, and it was a close game all of a sudden. It was a close game all the way through until it was a blowout. You know what I mean? It was like 15-6 in the third quarter. You go through and watch that game, they actually came out and just thunder punched Philly's defense in the throat. I mean, one play after the next play, every running back touching the ball. Davis, who's the receiver that's bounced around all the time that runs the ball? The returner was phenomenal in that game. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. His name will come to me. But
Patterson,
Cordarrelle Patterson. Yeah. So he was phenomenal. They were running roughshod like poop through a goose on that defense. And then they get in the red zone, and you know what they try to do? Trick them. Or to get, hey, we're going to get first and goal from the 4. Let's trick them. I mean, you drove all the way down the football field twice, thunder punching people in the teeth. I mean, just rattling cages. Now we're going to run it one time and throw it. You know, twice, and then kick a field goal. I mean, it's just so Falcony. It's just so Falcony, right? Get down there, be brutal, be physical. Now let's get away from it and trick them. And I mean, I just don't understand the play call. I don't understand why they would do it. But, you know, that's what they chose to do. And, you know, whatever, I'm not a coach, but I'd be irritated. Like, hey, wait, whoa. We drove you down here all the way. Now you got to have, it's like you're coaching. It's like you let fantasy owners coached the last three plays of that drive. Okay, turning it over to you fantasy owners. I've got to get Ridley a touchdown.
Right.
I've got to get Pitts, our new receiver that plays tight end, a touchdown. Yeah, I mean, it was insane. And then Philly made some adjustments on the defensive side of the ball and absolutely shut them down. Just shut them down. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's another one of my picks that was completely wrong. But I'm telling you, Mike, if you watch it, if you broke the game down like I broke it down, I mean, play after every play, single play, you know, Atlanta really controlled a large portion. Atlanta controlled it. Now, they didn't know what to do on the defensive side of the ball because what Philly did, Nick Sirianni, as much as we like to make fun of him, you know, for the rock, scissors, paper, what did you say?
Paper, scissors. You like to call it rock, scissors, paper, which is completely backwards.
What is it?
It's rock, paper, scissors. You'd like to call it rock, scissors, paper.
Yeah, I call it rock, scissors, paper.
Yeah, that's backwards.
It is?
Ask anybody. Go up to anybody this weekend. How do you say it? They'll say rock, paper, scissors.
And yeah, rock, scissors, paper is the systems.
Such
and,
a rebel.
Yes, I live on the edge. but listen, you watch them produce. He, for me, watching his game plan, breaking down his offensive tape, Mike, I was really impressed. Seriously impressed. And the reason why is, one, he's a play repeater. So he'll get in the same formation, the same look. He'll run the same play or a variation of the same play to set something else up, set something explosive up. So he does a great job with that. He reminded me of watching Kyle Shanahan call an offense only with more of a spread principle, and Kyle uses more of a two-back principle. So this is a great matchup as Philly in Philly. San Francisco heads on to Philly. That's the game that I'm doing this weekend. But I thought it was phenomenal. And I thought Jalen Hurts not only made great throws, great reads, got rid of the ball, saved their bacon a time or two of avoiding sacks and avoiding pressures. I thought he was really good. I mean, really good. And that goes to coaching. You know, that says, hey, I'm not going to take this guy and force him into doing something that he doesn't do well. I'm going to set him up for success. I thought it was one of the most savvy coaching decisions and coaching game plans of the weekend.
When does Chicago turn to Justin Fields? Is Andy Dalton literally in a week-to-week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tryout, audition, if you will.
Right.
Starting now.
Yes, and Andy Dalton was good. Andy Dalton was fine. I mean, you know, you give up a bunch of blown coverages on the back end, and you let somebody score three touchdowns from touchdown strikes from 50, 60 yards, 70 yard, whatever it was. That's not Andy Dalton's fault. I mean, you don't make them work. That's not Andy Dalton's fault. They be in Chicago. They're gonna feel the heat. They're gonna feel the pressure. They're gonna feel the noise. And Mike, if they drop games like they dropped last week, mm-hmm. eventually, general manager Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are gonna turn to him just because they feel the heat. And you know, let's face it, then you're in survival mode, right? You're trying to survive and continue to retain your job.
Well, that's why a lot of these young quarterbacks get drafted where they do. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is job security, job preservation, job survival.
Yeah, we're
on the part of the coach and the GM.
Yeah, we're not very good right now, so let's make sure that we take this opportunity to to play a young guy and say, hey, it's not our fault.
Yeah, he needs time.
A young guy.
Developing. Be patient.
Yeah, be patient.
Everybody future has. Looks bright.
Yes, exactly.
Baltimore, Kansas City. I expect a big bounce back from Baltimore. One thing that I think we've all come to expect from John Harbaugh coach teams is just how they very rarely beat themselves. And that was a sloppy, uncharacteristically sloppy performance from Baltimore that I assume gets tightened up this week.
Yeah, I would assume so as well. But as tight as you can make it, Kansas City defies the odds. You know,
boy, they are a flip the switch team, aren't they?
I guess I'm fascinated with Patrick Mahomes and I'm fascinated with the Kansas City Chiefs because everything I know to be true about football, they just take a dump on.
Yes.
And I'm like,
I was going to say they test it, but
right, yeah.
You are so much more eloquent.
Yes. I'm just like, they just do things that you're not supposed to do ever. And long story short, man, I just am like, okay, like they're the outlier. And here's the thing that drives me crazy about the league, because that everybody thinks, well, if we just could go get our Mahomes, right? Like everybody thinks that with these young, like Justin Fields, like you mentioned, and Zach Wilson, and it go on and on and on. I mean, when we went back to Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, but that's what they think. They think if we can just find our Mahomes, dude, it's such an outlier proposition. And now they're super talented. Don't get me wrong. They've got talent all over the place. But you can do everything right. You can build a 22-10 lead like Cleveland did. You can possess the ball. You can grind it out. Yeah. And those are all things you should do. You should keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. Like, you always get into this kind of counting possessions, thought process. Like, hey, man, we got 3 possessions left right now. And, we're down by 10. And panic, you get panic stricken as a play caller. Like, I can't adhere to anything. And they look at it like 3 possessions. Nah, shoot, we'll get 6 or 5. And then they take 3 plays and they score. And then they go 3 plays and they score. And now they're up by 4. And now you panic on the other side, right? And like, you can do it all right. You can do everything right. You can to the T. You can manage the clock. You can bleed the clock. You can do all the things that you're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, you get them in a situation where there's 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they're down to 1 possession. We're kicking to them. And the next thing you know, they turn it into 2 possessions, and they score 2 touchdowns. And you're like, shoot, we're down by 8. How did that happen? Like, what happened to us? We just needed 1 stop. Well, guess what? You can't get it. And that's who the Kansas City Chiefs are. So this is not exactly the matchup to redeem yourself, right? Totally redeemed myself. This is a little bit different.
You know, we do these podcasts every single week, and we hardly ever talk about Jacksonville. Because it's Jacksonville. And I thought, man, what a perfect place for Urban Meyer to go. You know, he gets to go back close to his glory years at Florida. He's got Trevor Lawrence. You know, it's a no-stress environment like Jacksonville. And yet, from the moment he took over, he's been in the news. He's made news. A lot of it's not favorable. Some of his hires. And now he's spending the whole week trying to beat down rumors that he's got one eye out the door and wants to go to USC.
I would love. I mean, this is just one of those situations where it's a different animal, man. You know, when you are the head of a university like Florida, or you're the head coach of Ohio State, you are the grand poobah of all things football.
You're king. You're king.
Everybody cowers, you know? I mean, it's just like, you ever see the movie Role Model?
No.
They play this, like, they play these games. It's like, different kingdoms in their big battles on Saturday, right? And Ken Jeong, a buddy of mine, you know him from Masked Singer and from everything else he's done, Hangover movies. He's the actual king of this little fantasy land group that they play. And he's got a robe and a crown on, and they're eating it, big boy or something. And you got to come over and kiss the ring. You know, it's insanely ridiculous, right? That's who you are when you're a college head coach. I mean, the president of the university gets around you and his knees are knocking. He's got a little trickling down his leg, you know? I mean, that's how much power you have. In the NFL, you know what? Urban Meyer stands in front of the team in the NFL. Nobody gives a rip what he did at Ohio State. They don't care. As a matter of fact, it's almost a detriment to your credibility, right? You're like, dude, this ain't college football.
Right.
And I had a coach last week go, I was doing my coach's interviews, you know, prep for my game. I had Denver, the Giants last week. I can't remember who it was, but we're just talking about, you know, the transition of going from the NFL to, or going from college football to NFL. And the coach was like, you know, sometimes you play at a university like Alabama, right, or Ohio State, and all you have to do is walk out in the jersey. The other team's already defeated. Like, you've got so much talent, and they know they're going to get their butts whipped, right? It's like, it is just like that you walk out there, the jersey alone wins you a game. He goes, some of these guys get shocked because in the NFL they walk out, and the other guys punch back. it's like, you know, when you're playing in Alabama, the other teams don't fight back.
Right.
They just roll over and say, thank you, sir, may I have another? And he goes, they get a little like, welcome to the NFL, like shell shock. Like, oh, Lord, these guys are serious over here. And, yeah, they're an abject disaster. And, you know, I didn't call a Jacksonville game last year, but I called a couple the year before.
Yep.
And, you know, Doug Marrone was the head coach. And, dude, there was so much backstabbing, and there was so much. Like, you don't clear up that culture when that culture's been that bad for that long. Where, like, Marrone would say, man, I got to go walk the offices and just, like, make sure everybody knows, you know, keep your P's and Q's to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And there was all kinds of, just all kinds of, like, coaches were like, this play, I mean, it's hard. It's a mess. It's a mess. And it's hard to clean it up, and you're seeing the effects of it.
Interesting matchup for me is the Chargers in Dallas, because you got two teams you had the Chargers who won in kind of non-typical Charger fashion. It was a really, you know, kind of a low-scoring, physical, road, grind-it-out win, a lot of defense over Washington. And then you had Dallas, who lost, but got a lot of, I guess, credit from around the football world for how well they competed in losing at Tampa on opening night. So how do you see this one in LA?
I think it's really interesting. Now, Lawrence has had an injury, right? And I think he is, he's out indefinitely. I don't know.
4 to 6 weeks, yep.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. He was a dominant force. I mean, that guy can play. And defensively, they're, you know, I mean, they give up 31 points in the opening weekend. It doesn't look good, right? So I would just say that guy can play. That really hurts them as a defense. Offensively, boy, how bad not Dak Prescott, but Zeke.
Yeah.
How bad does that? You know what? It's another reason, and I'm sorry, running backs, but you might want to move to safety. There's a reason those guys have such a short shelf life. Why you don't pay those guys? Why, you know, it's like if you did an economics analytic research study, it would just go to show you, like, you know, how positions in football have changed. I had the most interesting conversation with Ryan Logan. So
Logan Ryan.
Yeah, Logan Ryan.
You can call him Ryan Logan. It fits either way.
It's always, normally when you have two first names, it bothers me. And you can see where my switchiness, you know, my dyslexia comes in. And normally it bothers me because I tend to make this a life rule. I don't trust people with two first names.
Right.
I never have.
Very shifty.
Yeah, very shady. but Logan Ryan is one of the great guys in this league. And articulate and super smart, Mike. Super smart. And it was interesting. He was like a great slot corner. I mean, great slot corner. He had a year in Tennessee where, you know, he was like the leader of their defense as far as tackles are concerned, interceptions are concerned, sack. I mean, he did everything. And he couldn't get paid at slot. And slot corner is tougher than outside corner. And you ask anybody who plays corner, they'll tell you. But they don't pay slot corners. They pay the outside guys. And they pay the guys that match up on the X. And so he's like, screw this. I'm going to move to safety. And so he ended up saying, no, I'm not playing slot anymore. I'm playing free safety. And because you can get paid at safety now. And it's funny how the league is just, the league values certain positions at different levels. So he said he loves playing free safety because he still plays some slot corner. He plays free safety. He can play strong safety depending on the rotation of the defense. But he said the bottom line to me is when I'm playing free safety, I'm playing against the quarterback. It's mano a mano with the quarterback. Can I be smarter than the quarterback? It's a fascinating conversation, but it gets back to the running back. You know, there's certain positions that lose their luster. Like everybody used to have a fullback. Nobody has a fullback anymore, Mike. It's just the way it goes.
All right, it's now time, the part of the show where I always enjoy because I get to kick your butt, like I did in week one. Time for the picks. I was 2-1 in week one. You were 0-3. So
I took the collar.
You took the collar.
I like to give you an advantage, a head start, and then I just like to reel you back in like it always happens every week.
All right, you go first.
All right, these bets are brought to you by Bet Rivers. Bet like a man, not like a wuss like I did last week. I bet like a wuss. That's not going to happen again, Mike. All right, so for my first game, I'm going with my hometown team, the Broncos, taking on Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a mess, giving up 6 on the road. It's a big number on the road. I mean, you'd have to go back to the Super Bowl year before you found the Broncos favored 6 on the road. But I'm going to take the Broncos there. Then another road team that's going giving points. I'm taking the Saints over the Panthers, -3.5. I think that's pretty much a lock. And then my last one, Mike, is I'm going to go the opposite way. I like the Steelers-Raiders game. I like the rivalry. I like the history. But the Raiders getting 5.5 at Pittsburgh, offensively, the Pittsburgh just didn't look very good. They won on a special teams block punt. You know, I probably like the Steelers to win, but not by 5.5. I'm going to take the Raiders.
All right. Very good. I'm going to go with a couple teams that I won with last week. I'm going to keep riding them.
My teams. Ooh.
Well.
All right.
And they're two teams that you like. I'm surprised I was prepared for you to pick these guys. I'm going to take San Francisco on the road at Philly. -3. San Francisco looked dominant before easing up and allowing a couple of late touchdowns to Detroit, but that game would not even close as the final score would indicate. So give me San Francisco -3 at Philly. I'll take the Rams -4 at Indy. Boy, LA looked really, really strong. And I know it's a big number, but a bad team against a good team that's probably going to be ticked off this week. I'll take Cleveland. I'll lay the 12 at home against Houston.
Wow. That's a big number.
That's a big number.
That's a huge number.
Well, it is a big number. I think they'll cover it.
It's a gigantic.
It's ginormous, but I think they'll cover.
I feel like I'm in good shape this week.
Oh, do you?
I did like that Rams Indy game. I really did. Actually, I like your picks. I'm
surprised you took the Raiders. That's interesting. Pittsburgh's defense is that's still salty, man.
Oh, there's no question.
They'll be back at home. Yeah. Terrible towels will be waving.
Yeah, they'll have all that stuff.
Yeah, they will.
The towels.
Yeah.
I was impressed with that Monday night win. I was impressed with their resilience. Is it resilience or resiliency?
I've heard it both ways. I've always gone resiliency.
That's like my granddaughter saying, I need some private C.
Private C.
Yes, she goes, I need private C, Popo.
She's got a lot
I'm
of those.
Here in my, I just need to be in the playroom by myself. I need some private C.
Private C, okay.
Yeah, so
very
she gets
good.
Private C, you get resilience C.
Yes.
All right.
And you
hey,
get the Raiders.
Yeah. Hey, for everybody involved good in the Stinkin' Truth podcast, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it for Mike, myself, for Millennial Ben. We'll be back with you next week to wrap up week 2 and then preview week 3 as well. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.